just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes. Today we salute you, Mr. Creepy American Idol Auditioner. You waited in line for hours among hundreds of other contestants just for a shot to appear on national television wearing a cape around your shoulders and with a song in your heart.
Kelly Clarkson never wore a cape.
Then, Mr. Creepy American Idol Auditioner, you get your big chance in front of the judges and proceed to croon out a bizarre love ballad for Paula that you wrote yourself.
Quick, someone call security.
Come on, did you really think you'd woo her?
Even Paula's not that drunk, yeah.
So the next time you're watching Idol and see a chubby guy with an extra chromosome, a skinny kid with crazy eyes, or any man wearing a costume, don't touch the remote, but get ready for Mr. Creepy American Idol Auditioner, a real American hero.
Mr. Creepy American Idol Auditioner.
Well, at least your grandma thinks you're talented.
Get ready to turn yourself into an historical genius as Backtime looks at the people and things that gave themselves up to August 14th. In 1873, Fish found that surrender was the only remaining option as the first issue of Field & Stream magazine was published. In 1945, Japan surrendered, which ended World War II. And in 1989... Russia surrendered to popular demand as Bon Jovi's New Jersey album became the first U.S. album to be released legally in the Soviet Union. That's Back Time for August 14th. This is your announcer speaking.
And now from high atop the L.A. Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on L.A. Talk Radio.
And good morning on this beautiful Thursday.
Good morning, Sam.
August 14th. How are you doing, Susie?
I'm sore.
You're sore.
Every muscle in my body is just like aching.
Why is
but
that?
But it's really good aching. Because after I decided to ride my bicycle back home yesterday, I decided to go, I was having a bad day after because I'm still having a problem finding an apartment.
Yeah.
They're just freaks out there again.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of freaks? Like, you mean the landlords and
well,
shit?
The landlord and like the building managers. Like this one guy in particular, he calls himself like John the Building Guy. And I apologize, John the Building Guy, because you said you were going to listen to the show. But you know what? Your building is not the nicest thing in the world. And after talking to him on the phone, like he literally had me sold. He's like, beautiful rose gardens. You're going to walk out every morning and you're going to look out your window and it's going to be just like a heavenly paradise.
That's what he told you on the phone.
That's what he's telling me on the phone. And he's telling me, stop your search right now. You don't need to look any further. Like, this is it.
Really?
And so then he basically keeps me waiting outside the apartment building for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go to look at another apartment in the meantime because he tells me he'll be there in 10 minutes. An hour later, he still didn't show. So I went to look at another place that was down the street. And then he calls and he's like, oh, that Cracker Jack box? He's like, hell no, just wait till you get over here. I'm not even worried. I'm not worried.
He's very competitive, this guy.
Very competitive. But then he takes me for a walk around the block before he even brings me into like the little gated area where the apartments are. And he's like, look at this town. This is like Mexicanville. This is just nasty here. I mean, you've got like the mariachi band at 10 o'clock on a Sunday night over here, like being bippity. And he's like, you've got all these drunk Mexicans over here and their wife beaters like yelling and screaming, but not in this building.
Really? Is that what he told you?
This is what he's like holding my hand and dragging me around the block.
Wow.
Like pointing out all of the negative things. And I was like, well, actually, you know, I kind of thought that was a really nice looking building. It kind of has like an old school New England charm to it. And he's like, no, there are 200 Mexicans crammed into each room. And I was like, okay, you're trying to sell me on the neighborhood and like tell me like, you know, you really should be going for something a little bit more positive.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think it was that bad, to be honest.
Yeah.
But then he brings me in and like, it's like a 5x5 foot room, like bachelor style with cigarette burns all over like the floor and the walls with like this bright blue shag carpet. And while I like to shag, I don't like to, no.
You don't like the shag carpet.
No. And so like that was just like the beginning of it.
So his place sucked.
Really sucked.
Really compared to the other one.
Yeah. And I don't know, for some reason I I don't know if it's I'm too nice or sometimes I can be too nice, but I find it very uncomfortable to like be like, okay, I'm not interested. Yeah. Because he just kept telling me like how wonderful it was and how I would never find anything in comparison to his dream paradise.
Right.
And I was like, you know what, buddy? The apartment I live in right now is pretty damn nice.
Yeah.
But it's just like 10 times more expensive.
Yeah, I know.
What
area were you looking at?
Again, I think it was K-Town again, Koreatown.
Really?
Yeah.
So you attracted to that area?
No, I'm not attracted to it per se. I just don't really know what I'm looking for or what the areas are when right. when I make these appointments. Because as you saw me yesterday with my GPS and my bicycle, I'm like, do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
So I really have no idea where I'm actually going until I get there.
Yeah.
So that's my problem. I've got to figure... You know what? I should just get like a real estate agent to help me with these things.
Yeah, you could. I mean, there's so many resources to find stuff from, you know. But I think the ideal location for you would be probably like Brentwood, because then you'd be midway between here and the other places you need to be.
Yeah, you know? I don't know. Yeah. Like, I have a lot of friends that live in that area, and they just, I kind of feel like it's so congested with the traffic all the time.
Really? Yeah.
You don't think that?
Well, it's only between there and the freeway, which is not a very... it's not very far, but it's a classy area. I mean, it's really classy people. You have a lot of celebrities you see on the streets all the time at Starbucks and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of places to walk and run and bike and stuff. So it's pretty cool. I mean, you should at least check it out, you know, but it's a classy area.
Maybe I will. I'll check that out again.
Yeah.
I found a couple of places over there before, like I told you, but I don't know. They were living with weird, weird people.
Yeah, I know. When I met my wife, she was living in Brentwood, and she was paying $900 for a studio.
When was that?
That was 4 years ago. Okay. So let's say
wait,
now it'll be
four?
A little more. What's that?
4 years ago?
4 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So so let's say now it'd be $1,100, $1,200. It's still less than what you're paying in a much better area. So
definitely.
You have to think about it, you know. But... You know, you'll find something.
I know. But yeah, so after that, I was like really upset. And then I rode my bike home with a ridiculously miserable headwind. I swear if I stopped pedaling for a second, I would have gone backwards on my bicycle. And then like the buses tried to run me over and I was just kind of like, grrr. And so then the hippies across the street that gave me the four-handed massage were like, you're having a bad day. Why don't we go to yoga? And I was like, okay, I'll go to yoga, thinking it would be like an hour-long class.
Right.
It was at a really cool place in Santa Monica where you actually just pay by donation.
Oh, nice.
I know, it was really cool. So I walk into the room and there are like, I don't know, probably 100 sweaty, hot, sexy people like laying on their mats. And I was like, I could get into this. So now I'm going to become like a serial yoga person because there are so many hot, eligible men at this yoga.
Okay.
And women, so. Whew.
Right.
So that was my wonderful evening, getting all hot and sweaty.
Yeah.
The instructor was like, you know what? And he's like, I can't imagine anything more sensual than this. You're hot, you're wet, and you're touching yourself, and you're just in tune with your body. I was like, he's absolutely right. There's nothing better than this at the moment in time.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, it's that good.
It's that good.
Then
have you ever done it?
I've done some yoga, yeah, but it was never sexy like that.
Oh, well, I'm gonna capture you one of these days and bring you over there.
I guess you see the sexy in everything, so that's a good thing.
That I do?
So even yoga, you know, you go to relax and stuff, you're like, I'll go for the hot guys.
Oh,
so
man.
So it's in line with your view of the world, so that's cool.
You know, I never really thought about my view of the world and seeing things like that. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So you're sore from the yoga, but you don't get sore from biking?
No, I'm not sore from the biking, just from the yoga. Actually, when I got home, my hamstrings were a little bit tight, but...
Yeah. I guess it's because you use different muscles and stuff in yoga,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yoga, you just like stretch yourself out, wrap your leg around your head, you're all set to go.
Really?
Yes.
I know, and you do very slow movements, right?
Very slow.
Yeah, that's hard to do.
It is. But, you know, it's nice because you push yourself as far as you feel like your body can go. And so if you don't, you know, if you have a back injury that day and you know you can't do certain things, it doesn't matter, you don't do those things. You just kind of leave them out and take some deep breaths and focus on whatever and zen yourself out, which I have a very hard time doing, as I'm sure most of my listeners have figured out.
Yeah.
Crazy Susie, oh my God, what the fuck is she going to do next?
Yeah, I know. Well, God, I'm so fucking tired this morning, you know? But at least there was some wake-up sex this morning. So,
really?
Yeah. So.
That still happens in the married life.
Oh, are you kidding me? What?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know what kind of view you have on that, but...
Good for you.
It's probably not as exciting as when you're young and stuff, you know. But there's nothing to be jealous of. I mean,
Oh, come on. I'm sure there is a little bit every now and then.
Yeah, but I mean, you try different things all the time. That's a lot more fun, I think.
I know, but you have the option to try those things too. You just kind of choose not to.
No, I mean with different guys. You do.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, yeah, you try different things. I do, you know, but like I said, you know, just you don't, you know, I just focus too much on the woman's body that, you know, and bringing anything foreign to the bedroom. Yeah. Bringing anything foreign to the bedroom just kind of feels funny, you know, like with the buzzing of a vibrator or something. But then again.
No. Okay. Oh, man.
All right. The thing is that I feel if I didn't get enough, I'd probably get into other things as well and stuff, you know. But
like S&M?
Or something like that, yeah. But no, I get really my kicks from just straight sex, you know, a lot of oral and stuff, you know. I mean, that's where I'm at.
Well, whatever works for you, that's good.
Yeah,
I didn't get any last night or today because the Franz, grrr, he's passed out right now on my couch. I actually woke up at 4 in the morning and he was not there again. Yeah. We went out for a movie night at our bicycle co-op that he volunteers at. We shut the bike store down at 10 o'clock at night and then we kind of just have like a drunken, stoned movie watching night while we all socialize. Yeah.
Where do you watch the movie?
At the bike store.
Oh, I see.
We move all the bikes. It's not really a store. It's more like it's a co-op where you can go and learn how to fix your own bike.
Oh.
Like you would give a donation of $7 and someone, there are like, I don't know, 5 or 6 different people there that will help you learn how to fix your bike, which is really cool.
Yeah.
I was actually telling TJ about it yesterday and he's like, I'm like, why don't you come build a bike? And he's like, oh, fuck that. He's like, I'm way too fucking spoiled for this shit. I'm like, well, excuse me, mister. Yeah. You know, I'm a little too spoiled to get my hands dirty too, but, you know, sometimes it's fun.
Yeah.
Guys think it's kind of cute when you've got bike grease smeared on your face.
I suppose.
Well, if you're like, I don't know, you're just kind of like, oh oopsie, oh my. I don't know. I think I'm going to go start hanging out with the messenger guys downstairs because some of those guys are pretty cute.
Messenger guys?
Yeah.
Which ones?
The bike messenger ones downstairs.
Oh, there are some?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never seen them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They've got all the bikes tied up outside.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. Messengers now.
They're okay. Things you probably wouldn't really pay much attention to.
The thing is, with all the guys you want to be with, you don't have enough years in your life. I mean, my God, you know.
Oh.
Yeah. I wonder if you'll ever get it out of your system, you know?
I think I will. I think one of these days I'm going to find the right person. I'm going to calm down.
Because your attention span is not very large.
But you know what? I think, I don't know definitely. I know there's definitely adult ADHD. But, you know, as your brain matures, I don't know if my brain's maturing or, you know, immaturing.
Yeah. No,
you're supposed to grow out of it a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah.
So hopefully.
You still thrive on the stimulation, though. I think you need that stimulation. I don't know if it's to distract you from your life or whatever. I'm not a psychologist, okay? But I do tend to analyze things, you know. So, but that's okay. I mean, this is just fun the way you are, you know. And don't be ashamed of that.
Oh, I'm not.
I mean,
I'm
what
not
the fuck,
all.
You know? Yeah. Because you know, when you look back, what you have is your memories, you know. And the more memories you create for yourself.
Oh, yes.
The fuller your life is, you know.
I've got many journals and many closets full of memories.
Yeah. Oh. You going to write a book or two?
I actually, I have a girlfriend, Morgan. She wants to come on the show before she goes back to school in Canada. She's actually my surf instructor. Really, really cool chick. But she's a writer, and she wants to write my life story for me.
Wow.
So I actually have to sit down with her before the end of the summer and start a little bit of an outline for her.
Yeah. Can you imagine the 26 writing a life story? Right out loud. You haven't been married yet. You haven't had kids. You haven't gotten divorced. You know?
You know what I mean? Like, people tell me all the time, nonstop. Yeah. They're just constantly telling me. They're like, you should write a book. You should write a book. And I'm like, well.
Because you have a full life. You know, I mean, you've been through a lot, you know, for considering. And many people just stay at the place where they were born and they stay there forever.
And that's fine. Right. You know, I kind of get a little bit jealous of those people that don't know any better. They don't know what else is out there in the world. You know, they're just so wholesome and...
Naive.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, but yeah,
I don't know. That's kind of appealing to me.
Yeah.
Well,
you should try a small town sometimes.
Oh, God, I did that one. Marblehead was a small town, and oh, man. Yeah. I ate through that town very quickly. Nom, nom, nom. Then it was time to go.
You need the big city, huh?
Yeah, at least for the time being.
Yeah.
So we shall see.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I was just thinking about like the kids, or actually the commercial that we had on before this show started, with the real American hero. We salute you, you know, fucking fat guy with the beer belly who's wearing the cape to the American Idol sing-along. And it just kind of brought up a cape that Tucker, the little boy I used to nanny for in Massachusetts, won for me at the Six Flags out here. It's a Wonder Woman cape, and he's like, I want it for you because you're Wonder Nanny.
Really?
And I was like, oh, that's so cute. And I just thought I would tell the audience out there that he used to be a little bit of a brat, and he actually is probably listening, so I don't mind telling this because he knows. Okay. But so one day when I first started working for them, he came up to me and he was like, you're stupid. You don't go to Harvard. You go to a state school. And he kicked me in the shins. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, you little shit. And I like kicked his feet out from underneath him, and I like put them above his head in a move that I call the Boston Crab. Because like I'm like straddling him on top of him with my arms and legs kind of like holding him down. And his arms and legs are flailing, so there are 8 arms and legs, and it looks like a Boston Crab. I don't know why it's a Boston Crab, maybe because we were in Boston at the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, so when he won me the cape, I renamed him Fucker at that point in time instead of Tucker. And he was 9, okay?
He was 9 years old and he told you that about Harvard?
You're stupid. You go to a state school. You don't go to Harvard. I'm like, what? I'm like, come here, little shit. So he was like officially renamed Fucker.
Yeah.
But when he came to visit me and he won me the Wonder Nanny cape, I was like, you know what? You've matured a lot. He's like, I even have friends in public school nowadays. I was like, really? I was like, good for you, Fucker. I mean, Tucker. But just so precious the way kids are these days. They say the darndest things. They really do.
Yeah. And I wish they'd stay young, you know, because, yeah, I mean, you know.
They get corrupted so quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, my God.
Not only that, but, you know, I mean, they change during their teens. I mean, I'm not going to really get into it, but let's just say that I'm not having the easiest time with my daughter right now. You know, and she's about to go to college and shit. And, you know, you try to spend as much time as possible. And, this is not the same kid that I raised.
Aww. You know, that's for a fact. You know what? People just have to realize, and I mean, I'm sure that all fathers have these issues with their daughters and things. I know my
especially
parents...
Especially when it's divorce. There's a divorce in
between. Especially, you know? Especially. Yes, yes, yeah. Yes. I don't know, but like even parents after their divorce, they change too. My parents were completely different when they were married than they were when they got divorced.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, we all kind of like came into our own together, like separately, kind of without each other, actually.
Yeah.
So I just know it's really hard. It's hard for the kids as well as it is for the adults. So it might not seem that way.
Yeah.
But maybe that's why, you know, she's acting out in her own way.
Yeah, I think she's pretty rebellious, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, think of me at that age.
Okay.
Whoa, fucking nuts. Completely crazy. My parents had no idea what to do with me. I thought I had the world by the balls.
Yeah.
I
know, you'd be a hard hard one to handle.
But you know, I actually, believe it or not, I really feel like I have settled down in my old age.
Yeah, yeah.
I know you might not see that.
No, I mean, no, it's all relative, I suppose, you know.
No,
but
definitely.
Look, again, I want you to understand there's nothing wrong. I don't feel there's anything wrong with that. I mean, you're living a full fucking life. I mean, a lot of people would give a lot to have your life, you know. So,
I don't need
to apologize for it, and you can stay young for the rest of your life. It'll be awesome, believe me.
I don't know, waking up early is making me feel kind of old these days.
Yeah, well, aging is a bitch.
I had to go home and have a nap at like 2:00 yesterday. And then I was just like, wait a minute. I was like, I feel like an old person or like a really young person like needing a nap at like 2:00 PM.
I know. Well, you were tired yesterday, right?
Yes,
after the bike
yes.
ride and everything. And
that was a lot farther than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Oof. Ay, ay, ay.
So did you figure it was 15 miles? Did you check?
I didn't check, but it's probably about that.
It's probably that, right?
And yeah. Because
you probably travel, what, average of 15 miles an hour or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that took you an hour, so it's about 15 miles.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
That's a long way to go. And then you have to go back, so it's 30 miles.
But then I was riding my bike to all these different appointments
exactly.
yesterday, and I sometimes the GPS is so stupid, and it really pisses me off. Or maybe I'm stupid and program it the wrong way. But I missed this one appointment by 2.5 miles.
Really?
Before I was like, wait a minute, I think I'm in the wrong area. And then I was like, maybe I'll turn around. And then I turn around and, you know, so that was like another like 5 miles right there just to get to this one place.
Right.
Again, another reason I have got the Nazi gypsy tattoo on my arm. It's not a Nazi tattoo. Thank you,
no,
TJ.
It's not. People. Yeah. Now you've become self-conscious of it, huh?
No, I've
a few people have mentioned it.
A ton of people have mentioned it even before I got it, and I still chose to get it. You know, it has its own particular meaning to me.
Yeah, and you should probably find a symbolism for why it's there and it looks like that. Just find something. Just find an excuse.
Well, do you want to know the reason it looks the way it is now?
Yeah.
When I had it done, the tattoo artist fucked up the Y.
Right.
And he went too deep on the needle.
Yeah. Let's just explain. You have a gypsy tattoo on your forearm.
On my left forearm, yeah. And it's in Gucci font. It's pretty small. It's probably only about 2 inches, you know, from the G to the Y.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in Gucci font. And then So it was just plain blue, a plain navy blue.
Right.
But then the tattoo artist fucked up the Y and went too deeply on it. Oh. So to anyone out there who wants to get a tattoo, really make sure you go to a good artist, because these things are permanent.
Yeah.
And
wow.
But so he purposely went around it and did the white outline, and then put the kind of blurry smudge on the sides of it, mm-hmm. to make it kind of pop out a bit.
I see.
So now it looks more like a stamp instead of like a brand.
Yeah, yeah.
It was supposed to be more like a brand.
Oh, I see. Brand you.
Like you've been branded a gypsy.
Yeah. Well, you're a little into pain. Maybe we can brand you with a hot iron.
So. Well, no, actually, you know what was nice about this? Because I like the pleasure and the pain at the same time.
Right.
So while I was having this done, the Franz was with me. I made him tickle my right arm, like really sensually. And so I've got this burning, searing sensation of my flesh just being like burned and seared,
yeah.
On one arm, and then I'm being gently tickled sensually on the other arm. It was the strangest feeling in the world.
I'm sure.
Really was.
Yeah.
But I kind of liked it.
You really live life to the fullest.
Go figure.
Oh, yeah. So what's going on with Janique? Is she going to come out this weekend?
I don't think she's going to come out this weekend. She actually said she was going to call in this morning. I don't know if she fell back asleep or not. She said she might. She was sending me text messages at 4:00 in the morning. Hal is back from Aruba. This is the boyfriend that had broken up with her before she came out here.
Right.
And hence the reason why she had the one-night stand. Her heart was broken, and, you know, she was totally feeling awful about herself and wanted to be validated sexually and go off and do something experimental, yada, yada. Mm. So all of a sudden, the fucker comes back from Aruba, and he's like, I miss you so much. I love you so much. I want to be with you, blah, blah, blah. And of course, she's like, really? And he's saying all the right things. Why do you men out there know all of the right things to say, like, when you're in the doghouse and you want to come back in?
Because you girls are so transparent. I mean, we know exactly what you want. You get a dozen roses, and that's it. I mean, you're melting.
No, the cleaning the house was the melting part. Yeah, the dozen roses.
True. Yeah. No, I didn't mean you. I meant in general women.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that about flowers. But they get flowers and suddenly everything is forgotten and we're back in the game, you know.
It's ridiculous.
So you're transparent. I mean, we know what you like and we know what you want to hear. So I'm not surprised. You know?
I know. Yeah. But actually...
Why was he coming back if he dumped her?
Well, he had spent all this time in Aruba, and I don't know, I think he kind of has his own issues of being in a committed relationship, and
right.
I don't know, that whole kind of thing. But so once he was in Aruba, he kind of realized like how alone he was without her and like how wonderful she is. I mean, she's a wonderful, wonderful girlfriend.
Yeah.
It's like any of these boys, like they're terribly lucky to have her. Mm. And I think he kind of realized what he was missing out on when he didn't have her for 10 days. And then when he found out that she was out in California whoring around with me, then he was just like, what? What? Because I don't think he thought that she was capable of actually going and doing that.
But I'm sure that's what he did in Aruba. I mean, what else do you fucking do in Aruba?
Well, that's what I was kind of thinking. I was thinking, you know, like maybe he broke... I kind of like brought this up to her. I said, maybe he broke up with you because he knew he was going to Aruba and he wanted to go whore around in Aruba.
Mm-hmm.
And then he thought... Because like you're so in love with him, like puppy love style, that when he comes back, that you'll automatically be like, oh, yes, I'll take you back.
Yeah.
But so good for her, because she's not officially taking him back yet.
Mm.
She's actually saying, you know what, I need some time to myself. You know, we could definitely still have sex, but... she's like, but you know what? I'm not going to go full-fledged diving back into this relationship.
Yeah.
Which a lot of women need to do, which is what I need to learn how to do. I actually told the Franz this morning on the couch I wanted to see other people. There's one in particular from my yoga class. I don't know. I'm just getting sick of his drunken debauchery and just not coming home. And I don't know. I'm trying to be a little bit more responsible and go to bed a little bit earlier and like have a little bit of a schedule.
Uh-huh.
And he just keeps throwing wrenches in it left and right and left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not fair.
Yeah. You sure it's not an excuse to go after that guy you saw?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you can't bullshit me.
You should have seen him bent in half, like grabbing his toes with his head like between his legs.
Wow.
The Franz can't even touch his toes.
Yeah. But you see, you're going to keep comparing people like this all the time. You'll never find someone.
I'm not comparing. I'm not comparing. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is, yes, you see the guy externally and he looks everything, but you don't know shit about him, you know?
I do too. He's from Somerville in Boston.
So what does that fucking mean?
His name's Jeff.
Yeah, but you don't know what he's like, you know?
He's really sweaty.
Yeah. You're giving out everybody's names. You got to be careful, you know, the whole fucking world.
I just give just first names. People, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. As soon as people know I'm on this, they're like Kay, you know, he's like, don't give out my first name. I'm like, mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Yeah. So I didn't.
Yeah.
We were trying, everyone at the bike shop last night was trying to get the Sam and Susie show on, but he refused to put it on because he's kind of, he's not, I don't want to say the DJ because he's like playing the movie. What's the person who plays the movie and controls?
The projectionist.
Yeah, the projectionist.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of funny too. Yeah. Are you projecting on me?
Yeah.
But he refused. He's like, what? I wasn't on Susie's show. I don't know what you're talking about. Susie, shut up.
Really? So he's a very private person, it seems.
He is a pretty private person.
Yeah, I don't know why he wanted to be on the radio, but what the hell? It's too late.
I kidnapped him. Yeah. I didn't give him much of a choice.
Yeah. So now, you mentioned like he's got a certain style and you gave a name for
it. Hipster.
A hipster?
Those, okay. those
as
bike
opposed to an emo?
No, totally different. Sam. No, those bike guys downstairs, the messengers, those are hipsters.
Okay.
I don't know how to really explain it much more than that. Look it up on Google. Okay. That'll give you like an interesting definition because I once wanted to be a hipster because I have this fixed gear bike that I had built for myself. It's really, really sexy.
You built the bike yourself?
Well, I bought all the parts individually and then had a bike shop assemble it for me.
Oh, okay.
Her name's Dominique. She's beautiful. Mm-hmm. But she's a bit of a bitch. If you don't ride her the right way, she bucks you and tosses you all over the place.
Who is that now?
My
your
bicycle.
Bike. That's your bike.
Yes.
And her name was again?
Dominique.
Dominique. Okay.
Yes.
Sorry.
like from the Fountainhead.
I thought you were talking about the person that assembled the bike for you. But
oh, no.
Okay.
Actually, Dominique would be a good...
So you're already projecting a personality on her and everything.
Oh, I've been riding her since December.
On the bike, I mean.
And her personality, it's all her own.
Really?
I'm not projecting it onto the bike.
And how do you know that the bike is feminine?
Because
I mean,
she's
is
pink.
A female. Oh, okay.
She's pink.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Okay, well, that goes without saying.
Yeah. You just know these
that
things.
That explains it. Yeah.
It's like cars. Like cars are girls or boats are girls.
Yeah.
You never see a boat named Bob.
That's true.
When was the last time you saw a boat named Bob?
I haven't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, for me, the bike will always be feminine.
But maybe because most sailors are men and they want to feel close to their boat.
Well, maybe most cyclists are men and they like to feel close to their bikes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And I certainly get close to my bike.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I see a bike as...
neutral?
As a male thing. No. Male.
Male?
Yeah. Bicycle.
I don't know. No, definitely not.
No, female?
Female.
Okay.
Completely.
We'll have a whole fucking debate about this.
I know. I'll get my cyclist people in here. We'll have some real debates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to call in, our number is 818-602-4498. Remember, we still have the contest going on for the Wi-Fi radios.
Only 2 days left.
Yeah, today and tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have a caller yesterday. So we've got two winners so far this week. And if you want to call in, go ahead. We're still trying to work out what question.
I know.
To ask you.
If you have a suggestion for the question, call in with that too.
Yeah, you can call in, give us the question, and then give
answer
the answer.
It. Oh, that would be funny.
Yeah, maybe they can ask us the question. If we answer correctly, they'll win.
Good. I like that too.
You know, that's a good thing. Like stump us or something.
Way to get the creative juices flowing in the morning for
there
the listeners.
Go. There you go.
Along with all kinds of other juices. Whatever.
Yeah. So, and we have a guest coming up, coming in at 10. So, another musician. So, that should be fun.
Very exciting.
The girl from yesterday, Lorelai, was amazing. Hi, listen to those songs again.
I actually want us to play more of her songs. Do you still have them on her MySpace?
I asked her to email me some. So, as soon as we have that.
Because her voice was so beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, and the songs were nice, too.
No, they definitely were gorgeous.
Yeah, and it's a shame because there's so much competition, you know, so many of these musicians you never find out about.
I know.
So it's cool that we have the radio station and we can do that.
She just had this confidence about her, though. Like, you know, we both kept pushing her. We were like, well, why don't you go to New York or why don't you go to L.A. or do you have your demos, like, out with these managers or with the right people?
Yeah.
Like, we were both kind of like, all right, your music is so beautiful. We really want the world to hear it.
Yeah.
And so I think you and I were more concerned with her getting it out there because she's like, no, you know, it'll happen. Like, I'm not really worried about it. I'm in D.C. Like, everything's cool.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow, she just has the confidence that, like, the universe is going to kind of take care of her and, you know, her shit's going
to
happen.
What a great attitude to take. I guess
and
at
that
18.
Will work.
Yeah.
Almost 19.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know if it's from being naive or just optimistic, you know?
Who knows? I don't think she was, like, particularly either.
Yeah.
She just exuded this confidence, like, even just over the phone, that just, I don't know, that seriously the world would, like, work out for her and that everything would just fall into place.
That's awesome.
And I really need to start having that that feel about my living situation. Yeah. Let me run something by you really quickly. Okay. So in New York, back when I was a kid, we bought this vintage 70s Airstream. It's 27 feet. It's got two like queen-size beds in it, or doubles or fulls. I don't know what size they are. A kitchen and everything. But it's just been sitting on my grandma's property for like a million years doing absolutely nothing.
Wait, what's an Airstream?
An Airstream, it's an RV. But,
I see. I thought you were talking about a fucking plane or something.
No.
Okay, go ahead.
But so it's one of the ones, it's like a silver, kind of looks like a silver can.
Right.
Do you know the ones I'm talking about now?
Yes.
But they've actually become like collector's items. They're really, really cool and they could be worth a lot of money. But we have one that we've had for a million years. Right. And so my dad was like, I jokingly suggested to him, I was like, Dad, I can't find a place to live. Like, maybe I should just tow the Airstream out here and live in that. And he's like, actually, he's like, that wouldn't be a bad idea. So I wanted to just bounce it off of you. What would you think if you had a trailer trash talk show co-host? Sam and Trailer Trash Susie in the morning.
Well, we just won't tell anybody.
No, I'm kind of like seriously thinking about this, of maybe like flying back to New York, renting a truck. That would be the only thing. I'd have to rent a truck to tow it back out.
Yeah, you do.
Because you need a V8. Do we have a caller?
Yeah, we have a caller. Let's see who that is. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's calling?
Hi, this is Janique. How are you, Sam?
Hi, Shaniqua.
Oh, Janique.
How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Well, we're talking about you this morning.
What are you saying about me this morning?
Everything. We're analyzing your sex life and everything.
And how I got all these, were these drunken text messages I was getting at 4 in the morning from you?
Yeah, they were. Are you guys on a break?
No.
No. We don't answer phones on the break. You're on the air, absolutely. I told you that when you called.
I miss you guys. I want to be in LA right now.
Yeah.
We miss you too terribly. I miss being able to drive in the carpool lane in the morning. I miss my best friend.
Yeah. Do you feel
so
used?
Have you figured anything out about my sex life?
Yes, actually. Well, I don't know. Have we, Sam?
Well, we were trying to analyze it a little bit, and we figured that if your boyfriend went to Aruba, and now he wants you back, it means that he probably didn't have a great time, and now he's changing his mind, but now you have to make him crawl.
Make him work for it. Don't just give it out.
I know.
Can't just hand it out all over town whenever he comes crawling back to you. Make him beg.
Yeah. Your sex drive it shouldn't be your guide, your sex drive. It gets you in deep trouble. So, Janique, one thing we didn't talk about is your one-night stand out here.
Oh, dear. I know. It was quite an interesting experience. I kind of freaked out.
Why?
Because she's the worst slut ever.
I'm the worst slut ever. I'm just not cut out to be a slut.
She died laughing when I hopped out of bed in the morning, because I woke up that day and I was like, oh, Janique's not going to be here this morning. She's off whoring around with that guy. And I hop out of bed and I look at her and I just have this look of disgust on my face. And I was like, you are the worst slut I've ever known. And I like slammed the bathroom door and she's sitting on the couch with this look of like horror on her face, like, oh, I disappointed Susie.
So,
Janique. No, I kind of came to in the middle of, you know, the whole episode, and I was like, I don't even know this guy, and I just met him, and now I'm having sex with him. I don't know, I just got disgusted by it.
Yeah, it's because you haven't done it before, and maybe that's not you, you know?
I know.
But, I mean, what is it like to spread in front of someone, a stranger, after so many years with the same guy?
It was weird. I made him take me home in the middle of it.
Really?
I made up some excuse. I was like, I need to go take care of my friend Susie, and I'm only here for 3 days. And yeah, I really got to go. Yeah. This is great, but thanks. It was really uncomfortable. I couldn't handle it.
And you know what?
I felt really meaningless and really empty. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you should have taken one for the team, because he was supposed to take us surfing the next morning too, and you had to go and fuck that up.
I know, I did.
You just single-handedly ruined my life in LA.
The thing is this, is that you probably don't have it in you, Janique, to do one-night stands.
I don't.
You need a relationship. You know, you need some feelings to go with it.
Consistent cock.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, not all of us can be like Suze.
No. It's Susie is possible. Definitely the extreme, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's...
How is Franz, Suze?
He's drunk and passed out on my couch right now, and I'm really, really, really irate with him. Grrr! But naked with the bag of wine on his face again. He's, like, attached. I swear to God, he's got this, like, bag of wine, like, as an IV drip into him.
Yeah.
And he was completely babbling incoherently. I was like, where is your bicycle? Because his really expensive bike was not in the house this morning.
Yeah.
He's like, your family's in town. And I was like, my family is not in town. He's like, they're on the basketball court. I was like, what are you talking about? You're making no sense. He's like... Susie, no, your family is on the basketball court. And I was like, you are really out of control if you're like this passed out and like this incoherent and just babbling. And I just wanted to like slap him across the face and be like, get out of this like stupor that you're in.
Yeah. Janique, do you drink a lot too?
I do. I picked two professions where everybody drinks a lot. I started out in law school and that was a huge debauchery. And then now in architecture school, when we all want to take a break from the studio, we just go have margaritas.
Wow.
So actually, since I got back, every single night, I've been pretty wasted.
Really? Wow.
But, yeah.
What does this need to get ripped every night?
What's what?
What's that need to get ripped every night?
I think boredom. I'm not really happy in Denver. I don't really like Denver as a city. I'd rather be in the mountains or in L.A.
Yeah.
I love hearing you say that now. It makes my heart smile.
I'm moving there. I'm going to pack up all my stuff, and I'll live with you in the Airstream. It'll be perfect.
There you go. I mean, that'd be awesome.
I know.
Two trailer park girls.
But you know what? No, seriously, I've been looking for places to actually park the trailer because you need to have a place to hook it up. And there's nowhere in Los Angeles like for trailers. In Malibu, there is. But I would be paying over $2,000 to plug in the freaking trailer in Malibu.
Really? A month. But there are so many trailer parks here. What are you talking about?
No, where? I don't want to live in the valley.
No, not in the valley, but there's got to be here. I mean...
There's got to be, but there aren't.
Yeah, no, there are. I'll look it up for you.
All right.
I'm sure. I mean, it's impossible that people won't have places to park their RVs. I know that that many people park it on the beach overnight, but I don't think they'll let you live there.
Yeah, they don't let you do long term.
No.
So... Well, yeah, there's plenty of room.
Beach
there's plenty of room, night. JoJo, in the Airstream for both of us. Oh, that'd be so cute. We'd be like Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie on The Simple Life. Only we'd be the smarter version. We'd be like the educated people that live in the trailer.
Yeah. But that's a good idea. I mean, you don't have any rent to pay.
No. Well, actually, you usually have to pay like $600 a month or something. That should be the approximate fee, which is totally feasible.
Yeah.
Matthew McConaughey lived in his trailer in Malibu in his Airstream for years.
Really?
Yeah, for years.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But then again, he was paying like... What?
Can I live with him?
No, you're living with me.
Oh.
Can I live with him?
Right.
Who's he with?
I forget her name, but she just had a baby.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
His baby. But they're not married?
They're not married. I don't think he wants to get married.
Janique, do you know who his girlfriend is?
I have no idea. Mm. I don't keep up on my People magazine.
Oh, okay.
I'm so awful with the People magazine. Like, I go to the grocery store, and I refuse to buy it. I try not to be one of those people that will actually, like, buy all these trashy magazines. You know, I get my Newsweek mailed to me at the house, and I don't know. I'm lucky if I ever read it. But when I go to the grocery store, Sam, I'm such a dork. I will actually pick the longest line, and I'll get in the back of the longest line, and I'll read, like, five trashy magazines, and I'll let people, like, keep getting in front of me. And I'm like, oh, no, go ahead. Meanwhile, I've got, like, the National Enquirer, and I've got People, and I've got Us Weekly, and OK. And I'm just totally catching up on all of my trash and my gossip. But yet, I refuse to buy it.
Yeah. Well, that's OK, because now you need to talk about this on the radio. So
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
So you can tell people. You know what the funny thing is? The other day, like, I don't know, about a month ago, I went downstairs to the store downstairs to get a National Enquirer, because there was some kind of story that broke, and I wanted to get the inside scoop, right?
Yeah.
And so I go and buy it, and I'm so embarrassed.
Buying it?
And not only this, but the girl asked me, do you want a bag for this?
Oh, no. It's not like you're buying like a porno magazine.
No, it's not. But I guess it's just as embarrassing, you know? When
oh, no. The lady
So I wanted to tell it for the radio.
Oh. I can't believe she really did?
Yeah.
That's too funny.
I know.
The woman
I
do you want a bag for this? I know. Like it's a dirty, dirty secret. You're a dirty man for reading it, Sam.
Yeah, you're in business environment.
Oh God, know? I can only imagine. Yeah, the woman I nanny for actually had what I consider one of the best jobs in the world once upon a time. Working for this, I actually don't remember what it was for, but she got paid to read trashy magazines all day.
Really?
All day.
Wow.
She would just sit there and read them all day.
Amazing.
I know.
Nice.
I can't imagine a better job, aside from talking on the radio, than getting paid to read trashy magazines.
Yeah.
What would she do with it then? Would she do a write-up or...
You know what? I don't really remember. I can never get past in my mind when she tells me the story that's what her job is. I just block everything else out. I'm just like, that would be amazing.
Yeah. Janique, we were talking yesterday, and I wanted to ask you, do you ever squirt during sex?
No.
You don't.
I am not a squirter.
You're not a squirter.
That's
huh?
so funny that you chose to ask her that because I've never considered asking. The thought never crossed my mind.
Well, yeah.
Joe, apparently.
No, but I will tell you that I definitely I become more moist depending on how into the person I am or not.
Yeah, yeah. That moisture is definitely a turn on.
Yeah.
Now, so, and what about the G spot? Have you found the G spot anywhere?
Only once, and on my own.
Really?
No guy has ever found it, yeah.
Really?
I read this book, it was called Cunt, and it was all about, like, this woman's experience of, like, really accepting her vagina and, like, really becoming one with it. It was kind of like this feminazi book. But there's this whole chapter in there where she describes how you're supposed to feel and find your own G-spot. So after I read the chapter, I couldn't resist. I was like, all right, here goes.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And you found it.
Yeah, I did, but only the one time.
And did it feel good?
It was a
good?
Weird sensation.
Weird sensation.
Weird.
Like you have to pee or something?
No squirting.
No squirting.
No squirting.
But
no squirting.
Does it feel
but
like
it's like you have to pee.
Yeah.
Well, wow. That doesn't sound very pleasurable.
No, it doesn't.
That kind of subsides, and then you really, I don't know, it's exhilarating.
No, well, yeah.
Maybe you haven't found it.
It's too much work. No,
I'm way too lazy with these things.
Yeah.
Hence why I break out the power tools instead of, you know, I've used my hand maybe like twice in my life. I'm really just way too lazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Oh wow.
And that was only in I was in dire straits.
Yeah.
I was a security holdover in the military.
What do you do when you need a fix?
I get my. I keep my. I keep them with me at all times.
Yeah, she takes it along with her.
I mean, I don't have anything in my purse right now, but there's definitely an emergency backup in my car.
Yeah, she was quick to say that because I was going to ask her to take it out.
No, actually, Janique reminded me. I have this really cute zebra skin bag, so I've been wearing it lately.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the zebra you killed in Africa?
No. The zebra I killed in Africa is on. It's a rug on my floor.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
How lovely.
It really is. It's quite cool.
I'm sure.
Don't you think
well,
so?
Well, you'll have to tell us about it one day.
It's sure. Beautiful. It brings the whole room together.
I know. But,
100 square feet of it.
But thinking that you killed the animal, I mean, my God, you know, it's not a pleasant thought.
Well, you know what? I consider it better than the way the overweight middle-aged men that go hunting in Africa do it, and they butcher the animals, and the animals are wounded and, like, you know, running away. I was at least a sharpshooter in the military, so I break out the big guns, my 30-06, I'm in my bikini. With my pink iPod on for my headphones, and I was like, all right, I see the target. It was like breath control, trigger squeeze, poof, one shot through the heart. The zebra did not suffer. Mm. I've got a great rug, and I fed a village of impoverished people.
Yeah. It didn't suffer, but it didn't get to live anymore.
No.
Yeah.
No. All it was really sad seeing its family members run away.
Oh, really?
That kind of broke my heart.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Ooh.
Yeah. Again, I'm not completely a heartless bitch.
Yeah,
but
she didn't have any qualms killing the fucking thing.
No, but the military, they brainwash you in a weird way.
The military
way.
Made you do this?
No.
No, okay. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
No, but as soon as, like, I have a gun in my hand and I, you know, I'm looking through the sight, or I was looking through a scope on that, or a sight post.
Right.
It's like the military training, like, snap. It's just like you're hypnotized, and it was like, all the things that they teach you to do while you're shooting a weapon, it's just like, all right, this is my weapon, this is my target. And then you've got to do like your breath control and get your breathing under control. And then it's like, all right, you've got your target, and then like you've got to squeeze the trigger, and then bam, like all next thing you know, the weapon was fired, and next thing you know, the zebra was down, and then next thing you know, I'm like, whoa, that was the first thing I've ever killed in my life.
Wow.
And you know, I'm not saying it was exhilarating at the time, but then afterwards, I had nightmares for a couple of days.
Yeah.
It was pretty scary.
Yeah. But you took the skin anyway.
Well, I had to. Like, yeah. Legally, Zimbabwe's fucked. And so, yeah. If I was going to illegally be feeding the people the meat that the government was trying to starve out of existence, right. I had to kind of play by their rules.
And who skinned the animal?
The native people.
Oh, really? They did it for you?
Oh, yes. They do all...
Did you watch?
Hell no.
Fuck, man. That would be disgusting.
To this day, I like my meat well done.
Yucky. And I was going to ask you also, Janique, did you ever jump off a plane?
Yeah. Susie? Really? Susie and I, we went skydiving together.
For our birthday this year.
Really? So that picture on Facebook is you two?
Yes, yes, yes.
Right. Wow.
She looks kind of funny because she's wearing these bug-eyed goggles.
Yeah. And you do too, though, don't you, in the picture?
I think I was just wearing sunglasses.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But yeah, we were supposed to go skydiving for our birthday this year.
Imagine that. And I'm looking at her, and I'm like, okay, Suze, like, this is going to be fun. And I've never felt anything more natural. And the interesting thing, I'm afraid to fly commercially, but I was not afraid to jump out of that plane.
Wow.
It just felt so natural.
Really?
But Susie went first, and she was just kind of, like, tremoring in the corner, you know.
My face just turned gray.
I'm sure.
Looking back at him, and
I've got this hawk eye attached to my back.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, like, puke, because if I puke and I go head first, like, he's right behind me, and it's going to come up and, like, splatter on his face. And I'm like, then that's really going to be attractive. But actually, no, it was really scary, because when we were up there, well, actually, 2 days beforehand, we were supposed to go the day before, and then they canceled us, and we were supposed to go the day before, and I think I was throwing up, like, I drank way too much the night before, and so we couldn't go.
That's unusual.
I know. No, I don't usually get sick, but when I go party in Colorado with Janique, we go out pretty hard.
Really?
But so we got canceled because of the weather. And so as we pull into the skydiving place, there's an ambulance leaving. Some guy that was training to learn how to jump, he jumped in his parachute, didn't open, and he, like, hit the ground.
What?
He didn't die. Like, it opened, but it opened, like, funny and collapsed in on him. And so he hit the ground and injured himself. So, A, that's the first thing I see pulling up to the skydiving place, is the guy, like, going away in an ambulance. And I'm like, great. His instructors are the ones that are going to be teaching, like, us how to jump. So, all right, I'm a little nervous because of that. And then they tell us, well, you know, the weather's really bad. The clouds are coming in, and it's starting to snow. They're like, we really shouldn't be letting you go. But, you know, we're going to let you go anyway because it's your birthday. And I was like, wait. So you're going to just ignore all the safety options and let me and my best friend jump out of a plane on our birthday, the day we're going to die and go splat. So then that's fine. You know, we get tied up, and we've got the guys ready to go, and we're in the plane about to take off. And then the little girl, who was supposed to be my videographer, right before the plane took off, the guy who was strapped to Janique's back, who owns the place, kicks her off of the plane and says it's too dangerous for her to jump. Wow. And I was like, why is it too dangerous for her to jump and not for us to jump?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, she's so little that if she jumps right now and the wind blows the wrong way, her chute could collapse in and she can go splat. And I was like, did you just call me fat? And the guy's like, what? No, I didn't call you fat. No, you've got, like, the guy strapped to your back, so you've got more weight. And I'm like, you think I'm fat, you asshole? Pulling, like, the
typical woman.
That's another story, man. But I got out of a ticket, like, pulling that crazy one in a cop.
Yeah.
he totally thought I was berserk. But anyway. But yeah, so we're up in
It was awesome experience.
Awesome experience.
Susie went first.
Fucking
it was pretty
scary.
Cool to watch my best friend jump out of an airplane. Like, bye, Suze. Have a nice ride.
Into a cloud. That's the only reason I was able to jump out, was because there was a cloud layer directly underneath the plane.
Cool, so you can't see.
I couldn't see the ground.
Yeah.
Right?
I know. That would just kill me.
Cool.
I'm just thinking about it.
The plane was above.
I love flying. You know, I love flying. I almost got pilot's license, but
I'm halfway through mine.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're taking it now?
Yeah. I started last year. One of my old bar customers gave me an introductory packet, and I've got 14 hours.
Wow, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had like 30. I was pretty close.
You're way close.
And then I had to start the night flights and stuff, and then I moved. I was in Las Vegas when I was doing this, and I moved back to LA, and it's sort of like
Sam, fell maybe by the we wayside. Should do it together. Let's get our license.
That's
Let's
fucking
finish
awesome.
It.
Direction.
Like one of your checkpoints or
that,
something?
Yeah, and then I had to... to look at the mountains, at the terrain around me, and sort of like try to make it relate to the map. So finally I figured this out, right? And I'm getting there, and I'm finally seeing the airport, and I'm like, great, you know? Suddenly there's a plane flying, I'm telling you, not even 30 feet from me. Just whooshing by. And this airport...
Wow. A commercial plane or...
No. Just one like mine, you know, a Cessna. Yeah. Oh. And but the thing is that airport is a very small one, so it's not controlled. There's no tower there. So you pretty much, when you fly into airports like this, you just announce yourself on the radio, and then you do what you're intending to do. So I'm like approaching the airport, and these planes are like flying all around me, and I'm like, what the fuck? So finally
That's
I land,
so scary.
And I find out they had like an air show, and nobody bothered to tell me about it.
People are doing loop-de-loops like next to you, and they think you're part of like the synchronized flying exercise.
Nobody fucking tells me about it, and I'm going,
what the fuck?
You know, so that was funny, but I mean, the fact that I found my way back. So that was one story, and I went there because you mentioned the solo, but so that was a solo cross-country. But when I did solo... by myself, and you know how when you practice, they tell you to constantly practice stalls and stuff.
Yes, which freaked me out too.
So that's what I'm doing, and then I go into one stall, and I guess I overdo it. Before you know it, the plane goes into a spin, and I'm heading towards the earth.
Vertically.
And I was like flying over mountains like Mount Charleston and Vegas and stuff.
Oh my God.
So my luck was that there's warm air there, which lifted me up higher. So I was actually high. If I was lower, I would have hit the ground. So I'm like spinning towards the earth, and I'm just saying, God, no, not yet.
Remind me not to fly with you.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So, but I remembered that my instructor before had put me into a spin and then showed me how to get out. So when you're into a spin and you start turning the wheel, there's nothing you can do. The ailerons don't work.
I've got chills. Stop it. You're freaking me out. Okay, I don't want to go flying anymore.
No, but obviously I emerged alive, which is important, you know. So, so finally I remembered and I hit the pedal. And it started coming out. Now, that was even harder because now you have all the G-forces on you and you don't know which way you are. Are you looking up or are you looking down?
Oh, my God.
And you have to control the plane, you know? So, there's a ton of weight on your head as you're straightening back up.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so that was pretty close. I mean, that was a close one. But I kept flying after that, too. You know, it didn't bother me, you know, because if you know how to get out of it, man, that's that. But that's my experience learning how to fly, and I would get on another plane in a second.
I didn't have nearly like that kind of experience at all, but I've hated flying my whole life. I've always freaked out because I'm kind of a control freak when it comes down to things. And one of my customers, shut up. this gentleman in Marblehead, he was like, Susie, you need to get over this flying thing. Because I fly all the time, but I literally will have an anxiety attack like when the plane takes off. actually, remind me to tell you another story about a Florida flight. You'll die laughing.
Really?
But yeah, so he got me this so I can get over my fear of flying. And as soon as I started that, it really helped.
Really?
So now I only feign... I feign frightened flying syndrome if there's a really hot guy sitting next to me.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, we figured that would be...
Of course.
Janique, we're going to take a break now because our guest is here. Thanks so much for calling. You know we love you, and I hope you come down at least for the Go Topless walk in Venice.
I know.
Next weekend, right?
In Venice. I thought you said Vegas.
Oh, I'm sorry. Venice. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll look in the flight. Do you guys have a wonderful day?
Okay.
Love you, baby girl.
Bye.
Take care. And be careful, please, with that boyfriend.
Okay, thank you.
All right. That's Janique, Susie's best friend. And we're going to take a little break. Get our guest all situated, and we'll be back right after this.
A mysterious zipper is spotted on the back of McCain's neck. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Political observers reported seeing a kind of zipper on the back of Republican presidential contender John McCain's neck today. Photographs clearly depicting the zipper are being called, quote, dirty tricks by McCain staffers, though questions remain about today's sighting. Washington Post reporter Dale Marquist.
This new development, coupled with his inability to raise his arms above his head, have led many to speculate that he's some sort of dolphin man in a full-size McCain bodysuit.
This just in, a spokesman for the McCain campaign has now admitted there is indeed a zipper, but its only function is for the occasional release of hornets. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News.
listening to the best morning show on internet radio. It's Sam and Susie in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Understand how the hell it all began. Is there nothing more to do? I'm Nancy Pelosi. The American people have spoken. And it is with that in mind, this cowgirl has reversed her position and reveals that I am open to offshore drilling. I now realize as a nation, we must embrace the throbbing sensation of energy independence. I want to thrust forward and go deeper than ever before in our quest. We must make sure to explore every deep, dark crevice. And while we push, pull, and suck every ounce of oil out of our wetlands, we need to be responsible and use the proper protection. So, from this point forward, I agree more pumping is needed. But please know that I will not accept any backdoor deals. Thank you.
Okay, and we're back, and this is definitely not shitty radio right here.
No.
Yes. And our guest is sitting there. What did I get myself into? My God. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sam and Susie.
Try to get a little closer. You can pull the microphone towards yourself.
Too, I think she can handle it.
Yeah? Okay. And so good morning, Angelique.
Good morning, Sam.
And so you came to us all the way from where? What part of town do you live in?
Santa Monica.
Santa Monica?
It's a bit of a drive. I come from Venice.
Okay. Yeah, cool.
How long have you lived there?
Oh, gosh, 10 years.
Really?
Yeah.
And are you in Angelina? Were you born here? Or?
No, I'm from...
Nobody was.
No, I wasn't okay. Born here. I was born in Northern California.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like Eureka?
Like Alameda.
Oh, I don't know that. I don't know
right
that
next
place.
To San Francisco.
Oh, okay, cool.
Between San Francisco and Oakland.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And you moved here 4 years ago?
Yeah, sure. I lived here. I've been living here over 10 years.
10 years, and you moved 4 years, yeah. Because, you see, I have the memory of a goldfish. You know?
Sam's really tired this morning. Yeah.
I should not be on the radio.
I've already got him blushing. Yeah.
Uh-oh. I don't blush. But it's the reflection.
Okay.
So you so why did you move out here to L.A.?
For two reasons, to go to school and to be a big star.
Be a big
fabulous
star.
Fabulous.
Right, of course.
So you came to Hollywood.
I came to Hollywood. Yeah. Absolutely.
And what kind of star are you hoping to be? Or are you already?
I'm already a star.
Oh, you're already a star.
I'm a
star.
Singing
My God.
Sensation.
Really? Well, we're going to find out.
I love her confidence already. Yeah. It's fabulous.
We'll be the judge of that when we play the song.
I walked into that one, didn't I?
Yeah. Sort of, yeah. So that's good. So you're into music.
I'm into music, yes.
And is this something you've been into all your life, pretty much?
Pretty much.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any classical or any professional training or background in singing or music?
Actually, my educational background is in languages, French and Spanish. Is
oh,
what
wow.
I, yeah, what I went to school
wow.
for. But I've always sung. So.
Do you sing in Spanish and French?
I sing in Spanish and French and Portuguese.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Wow, this is awesome.
Yeah. English, too.
Well, it should be, yeah.
You mix it up for the masses.
I mix it up, absolutely.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So, that's awesome. So, you brought us a CD.
Yes, it did.
And when was this recorded?
2 years ago.
2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And it's got 12 whole songs on here.
Yeah.
Is this stuff that you
write? As
opposed
to 12 half songs.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, I guess I walked into that.
Sorry, anybody.
So, I mean, what I tried to say, it's a complete CD. It's not just an EP or something.
No,
you know?
No, it's
I just
not
got
an
a
EP.
Death look.
Yeah. Now, I see that, do you write the songs as well?
I wrote a lot of them, yes.
Really? The lyrics and the music?
The lyrics and the music.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And how long did it take you to put this CD together?
It took about a year because I work a lot out of town.
Right.
So it was when I would have time back in L.A. and I'd go out of town and then come back a little while.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So let's play some of your music so we know what we're talking about.
Okay.
Should we go with the first one? Which one do you like best?
That I like best.
Yeah, just tell me the name. And
probably Cornbread, Beans, and Rice.
Okay,
number two.
That's number two. Okay.
Yeah.
And this
like
is
a good lunch.
Angelique, which is a cool name. Is this the name you were born with?
It was the name I was born
really?
With.
Really?
Yeah.
Because usually it's not. You know? Girls take on that
made
name.
Up name, right?
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so here's Angelique with Cornbread, Beans, and Rice. Okay, any time now? Oh, okay. I'll tell you what, Janique. It would help if I brought up the volume,
Angelique.
Right?
You just called her Janique.
No, Angelique.
You said Janique.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you,
really
you did.
Okay, I'm sorry. You see? Okay, I'm going out of here, man.
Angelique, we'll have to forgive Sam. She's my best friend who just called in.
And I heard that, and I was like, Janique, is he mispronouncing my name? I thought you were talking about me. I really did. So I was like, that's interesting.
Yeah, I shouldn't be on radio. I don't know what the hell I'm doing here. But anyway, here's the song.
We like cornbread, beans, and rice. Ham hocks with mustard greens. Pork chops and applesauce. Sweetie B-E-T. We like tapas and salted fish. Carne asada. Arroz con pollo. Calabacito. Gather hand in hand, we'll stand. I'm your girl and you're my man. Making sweet love in the sand on our promised land. Every day's a holiday. Sunshine on a cloudy day. Angels kiss, our love is bliss. Troubles blown away. We're like cornbread, beans and rice.
This is cool. I like it.
It's making me hungry.
Sultry. I don't think that was the intent here.
You know about anything that sounds very sultry and sexy. I don't know.
Yeah, some people call it the food song.
The food song.
The food song.
Well, I like that.
Like, yeah, okay. It's like a whole meal, cornbread, beans, and rice.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm. Now, where did you get the title for that? What is the song about, really?
Well, an old boyfriend of mine gave me a card, and it said, "We go together like cornbread, beans, and rice." And I was like, that is really,
really
cool.
Wow.
Really, really, really cool.
Aw, that's
yeah,
so cute.
Isn't that sweet? And then I was, as I told you, I work all over, and I was doing a show in North Carolina.
Okay.
And after we did our show with my band, we went to a club and did a jam session. And there was a band that came on before us, and the guy was talking about hog maw and all, you know, all this Southern cuisine. And
yeah.
I said, that's a hint that I need to write a song about that. So that's what I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is cool. So you wrote the music too, right?
Yes.
Do you play any instruments?
Piano.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you composed it pretty much?
Yes, I composed it on the
piano.
Wow. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so you've got songs. What age did you start writing songs?
About 15.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised because I was doing the same thing also. But I guess when you're into music, it's in your blood, you know.
Absolutely.
It's from a young age you already do
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I've always been into music, but I've never ever been into writing anything on my own. And I don't know. I've just always done like cover and show tunes and things like that.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, we're
my mom
going to karaoke
say.
Next week. That's about the extent
we're
of our talent.
We're going to porn star karaoke.
Get out.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you want to come?
You have to tell me about it.
Yeah,
porn
she's
star.
Like,
karaoke.
I'll go there.
It's at Sardo's in Burbank. It's porn star karaoke. It should be quite interesting.
Oh yeah. Boy, that sounds interesting.
It is. But we're going mainly for the. Well, I'm going mainly for the karaoke. She's going for the porn star.
I'm going to sing you karaoke. Remember, you're my prop. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I'm your prop. No, I didn't forget. I don't know what kind of prop I'm going
to
be.
You just have to sit there and take it.
I see.
Take it like a man.
That could be fun, huh?
Yeah.
Oh yes. Oh yes. It usually is.
So, do you perform here around town sometimes live?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
Like, what kind of places do you perform at?
I've performed at Zen Sushi, I've performed at The Gig, I've performed at the House of Blues.
Ooh, the House of Blues?
Yeah.
I just went there for the first time the other day.
Yeah,
I love it
very
there.
Cool. Very
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, it's a really cool place.
Yeah.
Nice, nice. Mm-hmm. And you have a following and everything? And
yes, I'm
really?
Looking forward to it getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, aren't we all?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wonderful. So let's hear another song now.
Okay.
Which one do you recommend we listen to now?
Number 7, She Rockefeller.
Number 7, She Rockefeller. What does that mean?
just what it
says. What do you think it means?
Well, she rocks a fella.
She rocks.
I was picking up what she was putting down.
Okay. She rock a fella, man. Okay. All right, let's listen to that one and see. Hold on, let me get that.
He could be a little naive sometimes.
Mm. But she rocks with a twist.
Yeah.
Walking down the street, talking with my sis, about a guy I knew I wanted
to like.
Meet.
Yeah.
How to find my chance for a fresh romance, for what he's doing to me. And he's oh so fly, I see all the spies, talking those big brown eyes. If you want your man in the palm of your hand, listen to my advice. Bring more to the table than just pity your looks, cause it ain't enough to keep a man hooked. Goods will someday fade, but not the beauty within. True to yourself, my friend, and forget about the he said, she said squat.
It's got a good beat, huh?
Yeah, I like the rhythm a lot.
That's nice. Now, I see you have a French song here already.
Yes.
Fais soleil, right?
Yes.
Okay, that sounds good. Susie, do you know any French?
I know how to say oh, je t'aime mon petit chouchou.
Right.
Which is, I love you, my little cabbage head.
Is that what it is?
She's right.
It got me through Paris just fine.
Really?
And où est il Tower Eiffel?
Tour Eiffel.
Yeah.
Tour Eiffel.
Oui.
And of course, the usual, voulez-vous coucher?
Yeah. Bonjour, ça va.
Oh, yeah.
Quoi de neuf?
Je m'appelle Susie.
You see, I took French for 3 years when I was in high school.
And he doesn't know the days of the week.
Well, I was close, okay? Isn't it like Monday, Lundi, oui. Mercredi? No.
Mardi.
Okay.
Mardi,
mercredi. Okay, Mardi, not Monday. Okay.
Yeah. Mardi. No, Lundi. Lundi.
Mardi.
Mercredi.
Jeudi.
Vendredi. Samedi.
You guys, I find it's easier to remember things like that if you can put it in a song, like lunes, martes, miércoles, jueves, viernes, sábado, domingo.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Very good.
I'm just a very musical kid when it comes to memorizing things. Like, I think I have, yeah, like, I don't know, cool. 30 presidents memorized, like, just because I put them in a song.
Yeah, I know. But no, I learned all the basics and everything, so I can understand it, but I don't speak very well. I mean, to put the sentence together is very difficult, but I can understand a lot. So, and it's a really cool language, you know?
Very
cool. They've got a lot of really sensuous songs, and it's just a sensuous language, you
very
know?
True.
So,
well, so you'll have to listen to Fais soleil and translate
yes.
for
okay,
me.
Okay, I'll try. Fais soleil, and this is Angelique.
Pourquoi tu vis, pourquoi rire, pourquoi sourire? Soleil, enfant de moi, sois mon amante pour une fois. Mets du ciel entre mes bras et demain, tant pis si passe mon cœur. Quand il ira, tant pis si passe mon cœur. Tant pis si passe mon cœur. Quand il ira, tant pis si passe mon cœur.
C'est like a jazzy song, hein? How would you, do you have like a specific category for your music that you would pigeonhole it in, or would you just say it's a kind of a mix?
Well, what I like to, I've coined it neo soul with a touch of funk.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. I mean,
yeah,
it's really
I like that.
Like, it's really cool. I mean, this one's like a kind of a song you'd hear in a nightclub or something,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So what's the song about? I can't figure out the lyrics. She's like, no, you tell me.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Come on, tell me what it's about.
I have no idea.
You have any? No idea. No. Well, basically what it's about, it's two things. It's relating this relationship with this man with the sun.
Right.
And how the sun rises.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the sun hides behind a cloud. And this guy is the same. Sometimes he's here, sometimes he's not available. But he makes me smile. He makes me cry.
Right.
With his sunshine.
And
with,
you know,
with the warmth of his sunshine.
If it's rainy, that the sun will come out tomorrow.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what it's about.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah. It was written by Morgan. Are you familiar with any French singers or singers?
Just older ones, but okay, nothing now, yeah.
Okay, well, Morgan is the songwriter of that song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I changed it just a little bit. I usually do that.
So, oh, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, have you ever met him?
I haven't met her, no.
Oh, her. It's a she. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So, I mean, but can you take someone else's song and change it? And
oh, absolutely. I do that all the time.
Really?
I meant to bring my older CD. I did a version of The Beatles, All I Gotta Do.
Mm-hmm.
And originally it was, All I Gotta Do.
Mm-hmm.
I made it very jazzy.
Really?
And it's really sexy. And yeah. And I got a chance to perform it at an annual Beatles sing-along.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, these people are going to kill me because I have totally massacred their song, you know. But they were cool. They were really nice and
really
welcoming. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's nice. I mean, the music world is cool because people do share things with each other all the time.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So this is really cool.
I like how your CD is named Around the World in a Groove because you've got like the different.
Absolutely. Know. Very good. You picked up on that because some people say, I mean, I put all these songs with different
languages
and different languages.
Yeah,
and why is it called Around the World in a Groove? And I'm like,
you've got a little bit of everything on here. It's,
okay.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not the sharpest pencil in the box there. Okay.
That's right.
Not the brightest bulb in the chandelier. Yeah.
My sister always used to say that to me, not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I was like, shut up, you're so mean.
I am too.
And she's like, gullible's not in the dictionary. And I was like, oh yeah? Really? Oh, okay. And then I would go and look it up, and I'm like, she's like, you're such a little, oh my God. Siblings can be so torturous.
Yes, they
can. As I'm looking at, what would you do if you had my family?
Oh, la la.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't see from this album that it's kind of around the world. I mean, what gave you that idea?
Well, she's got a song in, you know, she sings
in different
languages. And
right.
Then she's got the one about the food from like the South and
mm-hmm.
right.
just like a little bit of different.
Yeah, the Japanese from She Rockefeller.
Like a little bit of a taste of everything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, and there's a little bit of reggae in there, and there's soca music.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Bird of Beauty, which is in English and Portuguese. So, yeah.
Really? Let's listen to that one. That'd be interesting.
Have you been to Portugal?
Yes.
I've been to Portugal too. It's one of my favorite countries.
Love
I love it there.
Love it, love it, love it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
The men are very amorous.
Oh boy. And in Spain?
Oh boy. Even worse.
Yeah. Okay, I see they don't want to listen to the song. They want to talk about hot men.
Till a father time decides to change. Simon says that your mind is requesting a new furlough. Let it find the answers to things that you always want to know.
I like it. This is cool. You really have a unique voice, you know, and you have a big range, I think, or a wide range, they say.
Mm.
And I mean, you're going up and down constantly on the scale, which is really nice. You
Can
know?
I make a comment about that last song? And I hope you don't take this the wrong way. Like the background music of it kind of reminded me of elevator music,
mm-hmm.
but you made it just like fast and fun and just kind of like really funky, like twist on it.
Cool.
So it's like actually like really entertaining and pleasant to listen to.
Cool.
But it still kind of had that. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Well,
in a strange way.
Play on the elevator. Yes. Yes. No, I like it. If I were on an elevator hearing that, I would want to just be like, cha-cha-cha. Then again, I'm always bopping around.
Yeah, me too. People are like, that girl is really strange.
I know. People
see
me in the car,
and
I'm just like,
there's nothing going on. Yeah,
So what places have you been around the world, Anjali?
Oh, boy. I've been to Japan.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What's that like?
Japan was absolutely fabulous. I went there to do actually a top 40 gig. I don't do many of those, but I went there to do a top 40 gig, and they work you like nobody's business.
Really?
Yeah, I got down to a size zero. Never seen that before.
Really?
Yeah. What?
Yeah, yeah. You work from like 7 o'clock at night until 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
And then they want you to do gigs during the day, so very, very, very taxing.
Not my cup of tea.
But you know what? It was. When you're doing something that you love, obviously it's not really work until you're ready to die because you're exhausted. but the people are so wonderful. They're so wonderful and so giving, and they come to your shows. And so I love Japan a lot. I've been throughout Europe.
Even though they don't understand what you're saying or what you're singing about?
Actually, it's funny because what they do...
The language of love just, like, speaks...
Well, no, they go... Nya, nya, hu, ya, nya. I mean, like, when my background singers sing with me and they speak only English, and they go... Ha, sa, da, 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 you know, but they really don't know the words of the song, so they just kind of hum along, and yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I know, it would be hard to go to a place where the language and... But I would imagine some Japanese speak English, right?
Yes.
As opposed to, like, in China, where virtually nobody does.
Mm. That's where I'm going next.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, you better take a guide or something, or interpreter, because it's, my brother's been there a few times, mm-hmm. both my brothers have, mm-hmm. and if you don't know somebody that knows their way around, mm-hmm. You're not going to get very far.
Really?
You know, unless you stay in the Western hotels and you just stay there the whole time, but if you're going to go and you're going to go shopping or something, mm-hmm. how are you going to communicate with the people, you know, so,
right.
But in Japan it was different?
Well, actually, as far as communicating, that was the first time I experienced not being able to speak, read, or write language. Very, very
it's
difficult.
It's scary, huh?
And you know, it was so funny because as much as I've traveled, I was doing typical touristy type things, like speaking louder, like saying sumasen, English, and then just getting louder, progressively louder and louder, like they were going to understand because I was raising my voice.
Isn't that so funny, the way that always happens?
But I was like, I can't believe I'm doing that. I don't do things like that. But there I was. There I was.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was really funny.
Yeah.
I laugh about it now. There I was crying.
I've definitely made some faux pas in like, actually mostly Spain and Portugal when I was there with my sister, because I thought I knew how to speak the language.
Yeah.
And, like, my sister and I were out to lunch one day, uh-huh. and I ordered a salad. And so my sister had gone and left to go to the bathroom, and she's completely bilingual.
Yeah.
So she wasn't there to supervise me for a minute. Uh-huh. And so I was like, oye, camarero, which means, like, hey, waiter.
Right.
And, which is kind of, it's actually kind of a rude way to be like, hey, waiter.
Yeah.
But it was one of my catchphrases I had learned, so I thought it was the appropriate thing to say. So the waiter comes over and he's like, what can I do for you, you know, in Spanish?
Yeah.
And I'm like, necesito pimienta ahora mismo, which means, like, I thought I was asking for pepper, like salt and pepper to put in my salad.
Yeah.
10 minutes go by and I'm like, camarero, donde esta mi pimienta, pimiento? I don't remember which one I said at the time. It was either O or an A. But so he's like, dos minutos, señorita. And I'm like, well, where the fuck is my pepper? You know, like, my salad's halfway gone. I want the fucking pepper.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, like 20 minutes go by, and they come rushing out with this ornate stuffed pepper.
Yeah.
And they put it down in front of me. And I was like, no, no, no. I was like, sali pimiento, ta, stupid Americana. And they're like trying to like take the pepper away. And I'm like, no, no, I'm sorry. I'm like, give the pepper back. And we're like pulling the pepper back and forth over the table.
No.
And my sister comes back at this point. And she's like, you fucking idiot. She's like, what did you do now?
Oh, no.
And then another time I ordered, I was on the street and I wanted strawberries. I was like, fresas, fresas. So I go up to the lady and I'm like, okay, I'll have some fresas. And she's like, how many do you want? All this in Spanish. I ordered 10 kilos of fresas.
You did not.
I didn't. I was 16 or 17 at the time. I didn't know what a kilo was.
Oh, la, la, pobrecita.
But so my sister again was like, you know, a block up the street. And so the lady's shoveling the fresas like into a garbage bag. And I'm like, no, no, no más fresas. And she's like, 10 kilos. And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, Mimi, screaming for my sister to come rescue me.
10 kilos.
So like the lady made me take what she had already shoveled into the bag.
Yeah.
So my sister and I, she's like, you are such an idiot. So we're walking up and down the streets of Spain being like, fresas gratis, like free strawberries for all the homeless people. We're just like handing them out. So
that's funny.
And that's when I thought I could really speak the language.
Oh my
so
goodness.
So God help the world if I go anywhere where.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
So you just yell loudly at people and I just make like idiotic mistakes and look like a fool.
That's why I just go speak English. They can't help me. I go somewhere else, you know.
Big Mac and a beer. Right. Stick
yeah,
with that.
Exactly, right, you know.
Right, right.
And because apparently in China also they have like the weirdest food, you know.
Mm.
So you go there, you don't know what the hell you're eating, right?
Right.
And like my brother ordered a goose's beak.
Ew.
Believe it or not. They eat the beak.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
There's way too much exoskeleton. Ew, ew. Oh, no.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I don't get that food. But, and another thing about China is that there's a constant stench there, you know, like in the big cities and stuff. A constant stench from all the food and the pollution and everything. So, my brother told me, he says, you wouldn't survive here 5 minutes, you know. But Japan is different, you know. We tend to mix them up, but it's totally different culture and everything,
okay,
right?
Okay, good.
They're a lot more modern and stuff, yeah.
Well, I told you yesterday, I was looking at apartments in Koreatown, and so I'm riding my bike, and you asked me to lunch yesterday, but I'm like, I've got to go look at these apartments, and I was so hungry. And I was just like, I should have skipped going to the apartments and gone to lunch with Sam. Mm-hmm. But so then I'm riding my bike through Koreatown after looking at two places, and all the restaurants are in Korean.
Oh, boy.
And so I don't think I've ever had Korean food, but I'm like, I'm so hungry. I don't know what to do. And so I'm like, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. They all look the same. And so I leave my bike outside, and I walk into this one, and there's this huge communal table. And I sit down, and I'm the only non-Asian person in there.
Yeah.
And everyone looked at me, first of all, like I had 20 heads.
Right.
And so I was really uncomfortable. And then I sit down, and then some guy like starts yelling at me in a language I don't understand. I'm assuming it was Korean because we're in K-Town. And finally, like the waitress came over, and she's like, he's telling you his friend is sitting there. And I was like, well, obviously he's not sitting there because I'm not sitting on his lap. You
know,
the chair is empty.
That's right.
And so I was like, fine, I'll move over. So then I moved over. And everyone just continued to look at me, and then the food smelled funny, and then I was looking at the food, and it looked funny. Mm. Then I looked at the menu, and they didn't even have English on the menu.
And no pictures?
No pictures.
Oh.
So I was just like, okay, I feel really out of place. And so then I stood up abruptly, and I was like trying to, like, you know, make my way out to the door because I lost my appetite at this point.
Yeah.
And the really nice waitress came over, and she's like, oh, no, come back, come back. She's like, we want you to stay. And I'm like, No. I'm okay. Thank you.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. What I normally do is just have vegetables. Like when I was in Japan, because I don't eat. You know, I have my food particular.
So that's why there was no barbecue in that beans and rice
there
and cornbread.
Yeah.
gotcha, lady.
But there was salted fish.
Okay.
And,
okay.
Miso soup and all those kinds of things.
So honey. I'm sorry.
You're so bad, girl.
We love you long time. $5 your wife can watch. Oh, sucky, sucky.
Oh, you know, that reminds me when I was in Japan, though. This one guy was really, really sweet, and he kept coming to all my shows, and I'm like, oh, isn't that precious? And so then this lady comes up to me, who was his friend, and she said, he would like to give you a fan.
Oh.
And
uh-huh.
I'm like, okay, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And so then she says, okay, so he's going to give you a fan. And I said, okay. And so then he explains to me, he says, I want to be your boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
And I said, but you're a married man. He says, so? What does that have to do with anything? I'm like, oh my gosh.
Wait, this was in Japan?
That was in Japan.
Maybe I should go there, Sam.
That was in
there
Japan.
There you go, yeah. Open marriages.
Yeah, but the mistresses are really, really like respected and revered, and they're the ones that, well, I won't
kinda
say this
like
is all
geishas?
The time.
Kind of like the geishas?
Well, kind of, but I mean, the mistresses are the ones that like go out in the evening with the guys.
Mm-hmm. So they have all the fun.
They're the ones that have the fun, and then the wives stay home. And you know what? That's similar to France, where they call it cinq à sept.
Okay.
And that's someone that you see from 5 to 7.
From 5 to 7. Wow.
From 5 to 7.
Yeah.
And then you go home to your wife.
Wow.
I could be a cinq à slut.
You are très méchant.
I don't know what that means, but I think it means bad.
Very good.
It was the way you pointed your finger and shook it at me like my mother.
Right, that's right.
Young lady.
That's right. Yeah. So interesting cultures, you know, you never know what you're going to run into.
And you've been in Europe too?
Yes, I am in Europe a lot.
What countries?
Portugal, Spain, the Netherlands,
France,
of course. I go to France at the end of September.
Oh, nice.
For a month. Yeah, I perform there a lot.
Really?
Yeah, I perform there a lot.
Like, wow.
Like 5 times a year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I go there a lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. So throughout Europe.
That's cool.
Germany, London.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amsterdam.
Really? Oh, I have not been there yet. I really
you haven't been there?
No.
Oh, man. Oh, you don't know what you missed.
I trust me, I do.
That is Sin City big time.
I know.
Oh, boy. Yeah. And that was so new for me because I'm like, these women are like hanging out the windows. Why is everybody hanging out the windows? What's going on?
In one of those very small alleys with red windows there and women standing there.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Oh no.
Yeah. And the bakeries with the marijuana and tea, marijuana
bakeries.
Tea. And,
yeah, ooh.
And
all that kind of,
it's an amazing place.
Yeah,
and it's beautiful too.
It's absolutely beautiful.
There's so much history. There's museums. Mm-hmm. There's the canals. Or city on canals. It's surrounded by canals.
Beautiful. I love the canals. I love them just in Venice, in California here where I live.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I took Janika. I thought it was going to be like our nice romantic like walk before we left. And she's like, it's beautiful. Can we go now? I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, this is absolutely beautiful and gorgeous.
Everybody loves those canals in Venice. Have you ever been there?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's nice, huh?
It's really lovely.
It's a small area. There's just, a couple of canals there.
There are a ton of canals.
Yeah?
Yeah. They keep branching off.
Yeah.
I always get lost in them. I can never find my way out of there.
Really?
Yeah. Then again, I get lost everywhere.
Yeah,
I'm good for that, too. But I'm like, hey, how am I going to get found if I don't get lost?
Yeah.
That's actually, you said you were from Northern California. That's how I pretty much ended up back in L.A. I was in San Francisco, and I was trying to get back to L.A., and I was in my car with my GPS, and I couldn't figure out how to get back.
Right.
And so I actually went like a couple hundred miles in the wrong direction and ended up in Eureka before I realized that I wasn't... Before I wasn't in L.A.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, I thought there were supposed to be more buildings in L.A.
That
like, what's going on around here?
That's funny. That's too funny. Yeah.
Eureka.
Eureka! Fucking idiot, I swear.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Well, this is funny because in talking about Amsterdam and getting lost, we were there like last year or something. And
really?
My wife was taken off to go to Malta and visit a friend.
Oh.
So I... went with her to the airport, and I thought I'd take a train back.
Mm.
So I'm going to the train, and I'm seeing, you know, whatever. This is the train that's leaving next.
Yeah.
So I went into it. And then I'm seeing, like, it's taking a long time, you know, and nothing looks like Amsterdam. I'm like, every 2 minutes, I'm like, oh, we're almost there. This looks familiar. That looks familiar.
Right.
And, excuse me, forget about it. I'm like, suddenly, I just go to the, I started talking to the people next to me. I said, is this going to Amsterdam? And they're like, not many people knew English when you go outside of Amsterdam.
Mm.
So apparently I was way off.
Oh,
I was way
no.
off. And then I'm like, how the fuck am I going to get back now?
Oh, that's
so
funny.
Yeah, so I got off the next station and I went back. But that's one of the few times where I get lost. And and it's, you get lost. It's one thing to get lost in L.A., but it's another to be in a foreign country.
Yeah, that's
really
true.
And
scary.
You don't know what the hell you're doing. So,
that's true.
But you know, you got to go to Amsterdam.
Oh,
you know,
don't worry, Sam. It's on my list.
Yeah, if you ever go anywhere, that's the place to go.
Yeah,
you know, it's got it's just, and you meet so many people there from all over the country,
very true.
All over the world, actually.
Very true.
You know, like a lot of British people go there and stuff.
Yeah.
So, so you performed there as well in Amsterdam?
I haven't performed in Amsterdam. I went there just for a stopover when I was going throughout Europe.
Nice.
I performed in Germany.
Just
and
to
in
drink
London.
The tea. I know you.
Well,
I'm kidding.
Well,
I'm projecting my own.
When in Amsterdam, do
as the Amsterdamians do.
That's right.
There you go.
Absolutely,
Amsterdamians. Oops. Yeah, the Dutch.
Oh gosh, yeah. But you know, speaking of getting lost, that reminds me of the first time that I went to France, and I obviously speak French, and I said, "Well, I speak French. This isn't going to be a problem." But you know what? If you don't know where the hell you are, you don't know where you are. And I'm like, wait a minute, I speak the language, but I still don't know where Rue Saint-Honoré is, you know? So I'm still lost. It was so funny. But I was so arrogant. I got knocked down a couple of pegs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll happen to you.
Life will always put you in your place
yes,
if you think you're bigger than it.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So, Susie, what countries have you been in Europe? You said Portugal, right?
Let's see.
Spain.
Portugal, Italy, let's see. England, France, Spain, Portugal. And I think that...
Where in Italy did you go? Venice?
Rome and Venice.
Rome and Venice.
Yeah, I spent...
What's up with the D?
Oh. I don't know. Maybe
is it the universal healthcare?
You know what I was reading, actually, today in this extraordinary book of facts? The most prevalent disease in the world is tooth decay.
Really?
I know. I always thought it was like cancer or something different, but apparently it's tooth decay.
Wow.
Says the bizarre book of information right here.
Wow. Yeah, well, I saw a lot of bad teeth. And I was like, yeah.
Oh, I know.
Come on.
Apparently in China, too, speaking about China.
Really?
My brother would tell me, you know, you see these most beautiful girls.
Yeah.
And then they open their mouth and you go, my God. It looks like a horse, you know?
Yeah. Can you imagine getting like roadhead from someone like that? Oof. Sorry.
Like, no thanks.
Yeah.
Just keep your mouth shut there.
Yeah,
I know. Teeth are very important, you know.
I think so. And, well, at least be clean. Come on.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Come to the pick up a toothbrush.
Franz.
Come on.
But it's
my boyfriend doesn't like to brush his teeth.
What's up with that?
I don't know.
Laziness.
And you want to kiss me? I don't think so, honey.
Oh, no. I know. Trust. I don't let him. Most of the time, we don't even kiss. I'm just
Does he have bad breath?
Yes.
Really?
Oh,
yes.
Nasty.
Yeah.
I know.
And what are you doing with the dude, girl? Come on.
You don't know her yet.
You obviously haven't listened to other shows. Oi.
No, I'm the beacon. There can be 100 nice guys in the room. I'm going to pick the bad one.
Yep.
The dog, the one who's no good. That'd be the one I pick.
That's me too. Oh, yeah.
So what's going on now? Do you have a boyfriend or are you seeing someone?
I'm kind of seeing someone.
Yeah.
We'll have
just
to
kinda?
We'll, yeah, we have to check it out. We'll have to see what's going on.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Is this the cornbread, beans, and rice guy or someone else?
No, it's not the cornbread, beans, and
you
rice.
You kicked him goodbye?
Kicked him to the curb.
Good for you. Good for you. I need to take some lessons from you.
Well, I'm trying to be more careful with my choices because they've been so bad.
Oh,
really? Have you ever been married?
Yeah, I have.
Really?
Yeah.
And that was obviously
a
bad choice.
He was a dog.
Really? Aww.
Yeah. Arf, 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 arf.
Really?
Yeah, he was a dog.
So I guess you know how to pick him too, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I do.
Yeah. I don't know. Apparently, there's either a lot of male assholes or a lot of women with bad judgment. I don't know what that is. You know,
my judgment's fine
because I not mine.
I know what I'm involved in, and I go into it knowing full well what I'm getting into. And for some reason, I just choose to do it anyway.
Oh my gosh.
I think I just like the abuse somehow.
Oh maybe my gosh. You know?
I like the misery.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh.
I know it's deep. It's deep, you know, and we'll analyze that. She doesn't know what she's in for. You know.
Yeah.
I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
Give it to me.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So do you go up north often? Do you have family?
I do have family there. I haven't been as often as I'd like, especially this year because I've been traveling a lot, but my dad said he promised me that he would come and see me before I go back out of town, so we'll see.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So how often do you travel?
I travel a lot.
Really?
Yeah. Probably 7 months, 8 months out of the year.
Really?
Yeah, I travel
a lot.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would make it impossible to have a relationship, any steady relationship.
It makes it very difficult.
Yeah.
Really, really difficult. So you have to find somebody that really trusts you.
Yeah.
You know.
Someone that you really trust.
So
why do you guys think that is like an appropriate... like pickup line. I've never understood it.
I don't know. That is like so stupid.
Yeah.
So stupid. I'm like, at least get to know my name.
Uh-huh.
You know? You know, I might snore in my sleep. Come on. You know? But they're like, I love you so much. I love you. I'm like, yeah, right.
I know. I can't stand when people do that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty irritating.
It's different when I do it because it's really true. I really do love them even though I just met them. Like the guy from yoga yesterday. I'm in love with him.
You do yoga?
Well, I haven't done it since New Year's Eve. The last time I did it was in Vancouver. I knew I was going to have like a 48-hour night of partying and I was like, I need to do something really good and healthy for my body.
Yeah.
But after, I don't know, I had like a stressful day yesterday and so I was like, I'm going to go do yoga with the hippie people across the street.
Okay.
And it couldn't have been more worth my while.
Really?
I mean, it was good for my body, soul, skin, and just
absolutely.
Sweating out everything that was like pissing me off.
Yeah.
But then the hot men from that class, whoa. So
whoa.
If, it's in Santa Monica. We'll talk after. And,
oh, cool.
Yeah, you can go there too.
But is he a yoga dog? Come on. No more dogs.
I didn't get that dog vibe.
You didn't get the vibe?
No. Okay. And when I shook this one guy's hand, it actually felt like he had a job.
Wow.
No, seriously, it was firm and supple and just strong. It
and
felt
confident.
Like, confident. It felt like he worked and did something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a step in the right direction.
That's what I go for because my current one doesn't work so much.
Yeah. Actor.
I'm going to have to come check out this side of the computer because you've got a whole arsenal of of tools over there to be throwing out.
I figured I haven't used them in a while, so we'll stick them where we need
the
to.
Woes, I say whoa and wow a lot, so that actually sounded exactly like me.
Did it?
Yeah.
Wow!
I'm always like, wow, that's so cool.
Yeah. But be careful if you start, boring me, then we have this one.
Hey!
Oh, my goodness.
But we also have this one.
That's shooting?
Yeah, it's guns.
Those are guns?
And then we, of course, have the famous scream.
I like that.
I like the big guns. We'll have to pull those out every now and then.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Do you have any children or anything?
I do.
Really?
I have a 35-year-old child.
Wow. What? Are you serious?
That's my guy. Come on.
Oh. Because we were both going to say, I was like, there's no way.
Yeah, no way in hell, man. She's dancing on her chair.
Oh, my God.
If you have a man, you have a child. Come on.
I suppose.
Come on.
I don't know.
I bet if I had a conversation with your wife, she'd say, mm-hmm.
Okay, no, I've got a good point for that one. So the family, I'm a nanny also for a family up in Malibu. Mm-hmm. And the mom wants to have a girls' night out tonight. She just had a new baby on the 4th of July.
Oh, cool.
And so, yeah, so she's going to have got two little ones. Mm. But so the father doesn't feel comfortable staying home with the two kids by himself. So she's like, Susie, can you come take care of the kids tonight? Mm. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. But you want me to take care of both kids and your husband?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, sweetheart, I'm charging you triple.
Mm-hmm.
And so the husband's like, really? What, you're going to charge double like for the kids? I was like, no, I'm charging triple for you.
Mm-hmm.
I was
That's
like,
right.
You're the hardest one to take care of out of all kids.
Absolutely.
All the kids.
Absolutely. It's true.
Wow.
It's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised he hasn't jumped your bones yet.
No, not at all.
Yeah, that takes a lot of willpower, let me tell you. But
I mean,
she's such a tease, you know. Yeah. I mean,
are you like that at work?
I'm not like that when I'm with the family. You know what I mean? This is just kind of, yeah. I don't know.
Do they listen to the show?
They do.
Oh.
They do. Actually, the very first one of the first two shows we were doing, Sam and one of our other guests were like, oh, bullshit. We know that woman, the only reason she hired you is because she wants to have lesbian sex with you. And that very day, I had to go straight up to Malibu. And she's like, so, I was listening to the show.
And I want
to
have lesbian sex with you, huh?
Yeah. And I'm like, no, I said that wasn't the case. And I said you were going to kill me. Oh, my God. Or fire me or something.
But she kept you some,
What does that say? It says I'm great with the kids.
Are you really?
I really am.
Yeah.
They're delightful little devils. I love them.
Yeah, I mean, if they kept her around, you know, then I'm sure she's doing well.
Yeah.
Cool. But really, no children of your own or anything? You just focused on career? Cool.
Right now.
Good for you.
Yeah. She's got the whole head nod thing down that I usually do too. I sometimes forget I'm on the radio, and it's like all the listeners can see you bobbing your head.
Yeah, they can see. Right?
Oh well.
So you guys do this for a living, you know? I pop in every now and then and do.
I'm still fairly new. I've only been doing this going on.
Yeah, this show is only two weeks old.
2 weeks old for me.
Get out.
Yeah.
This show is only 2 weeks old.
As of two and a half weeks ago. Well, Sam has. It was just the Sam in the Morning show.
Yeah. Okay.
And then there was a show before that with another co-host, but then Susie came along and we started this new show. And
okay.
Yeah, it just seems like the whole world agrees with us, so that's a good thing.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
It's been really exciting.
So do you have a MySpace or something where people can go see?
I have a MySpace and I have a website.
A website too. Yeah. Go ahead and give it out.
Okay, my website is www.angeliquemusic.com. And my MySpace is www.myspace.com/AngeliqueMusic.
Oh, very simple.
Yeah, very simple.
And we'll put, of course, a link on our website for you as well.
Merci.
And the album is Angelique Around the World in a Groove.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll definitely play some of this music.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
We love it. I mean, we always look for good music.
Great, thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
All right, so good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Where are you going next, you said?
I'm going to France.
France.
Yeah, France, and then I'm going to Beijing.
Really?
Yeah.
So exciting.
Wow.
People from me in Beijing. Yeah, so I'm excited about
Wonderful.
That.
Wonderful. What, do you have like a backup band or something?
Well, when I travel out of town, I usually pick up musicians.
Like locals and stuff?
Yeah, I pick up locals.
Oh,
that's
really?
Really fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Well, sometimes it's fun, and sometimes you send them the music, and you have somebody rehearse them, and then you come, and you go, what the hell
yeah.
is that?
It's not what I had in mind, huh?
Yeah, so I usually have to go like a month in advance to make sure
right.
that the musicians are on point, because if they're not, I'm real good for saying, you can get off the stage right now.
I need to take some lessons from you. I don't know. Sometimes I just don't know how to say these things, or like, I don't know.
Well, I just figure that, you know, it's my reputation.
Yeah.
And if I'm getting paid for this and I look bad and they don't want to hire me again, I can't have that.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty hard when it comes to that kind of
stuff. That's good.
Yeah.
All right. And Susie, you're still going to look for apartments today and continue your
search? No, I told you, I'm becoming trailer trash.
Oh, okay. So you decided to go with that?
Well, I don't know. We're looking for a campground for me to park my trailer. And then I just have to... I might have to be broadcasting live from my cell phone in the Airstream driving cross country. Burning Man might have to take the back seat this year.
Yeah,
so.
There you go.
Trailer trash, Susie and Tom.
Airstream. I can't see you with that, but if that's what you want, you
it's
have my
vintage,
support.
It's a vintage, like, luxury trailer. It's sweet.
Really?
It's
is it
coolest.
Big? Is it the
it's
large
27
one?
27
feet. Oh, wow. Really?
It's huge.
It's bigger than my house.
It's not a double wide, you know what I mean? But but it's really cool.
Yeah.
And well, as I told you, Matthew McConaughey, if he could do it, I could do it.
Yeah. And there's an option. I mean, it'll save you a lot of money, that's for sure.
I know. Yeah. And I could be mobile. I can go anywhere I want, like the that's gypsy that I am.
Yeah. There you are.
Cool.
There you are. Yeah, for
very
you, it'd
cool.
be perfect.
I know.
And instead of a horse, you have an Airstream now.
I know.
All right. And on that note, the show is at the end. And... again, congratulations to you and good
thank
luck.
Thank you so much.
Angelique and Susie, thanks again for a wonderful morning.
Anytime,
as always.
Anytime. I'll be back bright and early tomorrow.
Yes, we will. And thank you for our listeners, and we'll catch you right here tomorrow.
And now from high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.